Okay, we are studying in John chapter 5 the healing at the pool. And we've been looking at this in our study as Jesus is teaching us how to interact with people and looking at the Jesus touch and how does he interact with people and what can we learn from him in terms of different people in different situations and circumstances. And here, in our study thus far, we've been looking at this man who has been lame for 38 years. Jesus comes to the pool there, and we talked some about the whole scenario of this being, this wasn't a situation where this man was just there by himself, but this was a place where there were a lot of people that were brought there, and that's where they could, and so you just kind of look at the scene there in your mind's eye, the pain, the hurt, the misery, all of the suffering that people are struggling with and these things going on. Jesus, we find him in this place, and that's the first part of this. We're looking at Jesus being available. That's one of the characteristics of Jesus. And so we find him in this place of misery and hurt and suffering. Jesus isn't absent of that. He's not out, you know, hanging around with the Pharisees, you know, the social clubs and those kind of things. Jesus is where people are, and especially where people are hurting. We were talking about Jesus being helpful, and this is the part where we've been spending some time, because we look at this man's situation, and the way that Jesus deals with this man and what his situation is an indication that this man needed more than just some physical healing. And we've talked about the whole idea of the pity party and the woe is me. And last time we were discussing the whole issue of, you know, how do we know when to help someone, when not to help someone. There are a lot of people in the world who are very needy, and a lot of people who want certain things. They don't necessarily need them. They want them. A lot of people who just want others to take care of them. And as you look at this narrative, as we've been doing, it's very possible that that's exactly the kind of circumstances going on with this man that Jesus encountered. We saw that Jesus, you know, apparently did some questioning. He found out, you know, that this man had been in this condition for as long as he had been. So as we look at this, the question that Jesus asked this man is a really important probing question. Do you want to get well? Okay. Which really addresses a very important aspect of it, and that is the desire aspect. Okay? We find people a lot of times in life that are in bad situations, but they don't really want to get out of that bad situation. Okay? And there are a lot of different reasons for that. And you know, on the surface, it's easy for us to look at it and go, well, they're lazy, or they just, you know, they want everybody to take care of them or what have you. And that's certainly, I think, with a lot of people, that's an aspect of it. There's another aspect that's a little bit deeper that, from a psychological standpoint, we have to consider and understand where some people really are. And there's a lot of interesting cases and study that's gone into some of these kinds of situations where people are in a particular situation, and other folks would look at that and go, why would you stay there? Okay, for instance, an abusive situation where, you know, not always women, but most of the time it's, you know, women being in an abusive situation. You think, why would you stay there? Why don't you just leave? And to folks who are not in that kind of a circumstance or situation, you know, it's easy to look at that and go, yeah, that makes sense, just leave. But to the person that's in that situation and circumstance, it's not always as clear cut and dry. Okay? not only that, but another puzzling part of that whole picture is that oftentimes we find when it comes to situations like that, and a lot of studies have been done about this, where you find a woman who has been in a situation like, say, an abusive husband or what have you, she finally gets to the point where she leaves, she's free of that guy, and she goes out and finds somebody else. Guess what kind of person she typically goes out and finds to get hooked up with? Same kind of person. And to people who aren't in that circumstance, we're going to go, why would you do that? Okay, well, there are some reasons why that happens. Okay? And a lot of it is psychological stuff. A lot of it has to do with, for example, things like survival. People learn, in other words, how to survive in certain circumstances and situations. They know what to expect. They know what they have to do in this particular situation or that. If you take them out of that particular environment, they don't know how to function. So in a sense, what happens is, as bad as the situation is, they become comfortable in that situation. If you understand how I'm using the word comfortable, it's not that it's good, but they know how to function. They know how to make it work. Okay, you take them out of that, and it's like taking a country boy and sticking him in the city. Okay, it's like, you know, I don't know how to work this. You see, it just doesn't work for him. It's like, you know, but hey, we're going to give you this apartment, and it's all paid for, and you got everything right here. And they're going, I want the trees, I want the fields. You see, put me back in the country where I belong because I don't know how to function in this environment. We can understand that physically in a situation like that where, you know, we're accustomed to the city, or vice versa, somebody's lived in the city all their life, came to the country, and, you know, it's like, you know, that's not mud you just stepped in over there, okay? And they're going, oh, you know, it's totally out of their environment. They don't know how to function. And the same thing happens emotionally and psychologically with people in certain relationships and situations and circumstances. Take them out of that situation, they don't know how to function. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean they can't be taught how to do that and work and so forth to be able to get to the point where they can. But my point is, it's not as easy as just saying, just leave. Okay? And so it comes back to that whole issue of desire. Do you want to get well? And for some people, the answer would be no. Okay, because if I got well, then I wouldn't know how to function. Okay, outside of the environment that I'm in. We left off last time when I read this statement to you from Lynn Anderson. I'm going to come to you in just a second, Dolores, okay? Where he, in kind of looking at this whole situation with him, he says... Jesus is asking this man and telling him, do you want to get well? That behind that question may very well be this kind of a thing. Do you really want to be healed? Implying, after all, you've got a pretty good thing going here. Your cup always gathers enough coins to buy your daily beans and bread. You've eaten 3 square meals a day for 38 years. Everybody feels sorry for you. You have a lot of people looking out for you. If I were to actually heal you, Monday morning you would have to be down at the unemployment office. At 38 years of age, with no job record, you'd have a hard time getting decent work. And if you did find employment, you could get fired or laid off or criticized or overworked. Are you really sure that you want to get healed, to face the facts? Or do you want to hold on to your story? Could the illusion be more comfortable than reality? I'm offering you an opportunity to become a person. Will you quit playing games and own up to your addiction? Okay. The challenge. Do you want to get well? if you look at and you see, if I overcome this problem, then what are my responsibilities going to be? What am I going to have to do for myself? How am I going to take care of myself? How am I going to live and so forth? Well, that speaks a lot to the whole issue of the desire, doesn't it? Lynn goes on to say another part of this. He says, meanwhile, we can't help but wonder if Jesus was thinking something like, 38 years? Your body may be crippled, but your head isn't. Some days, instead of begging for a shekel, you could have asked for a shove. At the rate of one awkward flop a month, after 38 years, you would surely have rolled as far as the pool. You see, the man's excuses were, nobody will help me. Nobody will help me when the water is stirred to get into the pool. How much have you actually done for yourself? Loris, you had your hand up a moment ago. I think that a lot of times what drives that fear is the uncertainty. There's a lot of unknown. I'm certain of what I got right now. Okay? Every day somebody brings me here and they set me down here and I have my cup out here and I beg and I get a certain amount of money for food and every day it's the same thing. And to you that may be boring, but there's a certainty in that. Exactly, yeah. And that's where we're going with all of this, because that's exactly what happens to folks. We become dependent upon other people taking care of us to the point where it oftentimes paralyzes a person to the point where they don't do the things for themselves that they actually can do. And I really think as we continue looking in this story, that's where Jesus is going with this man. Okay? And why he asks him that question, do you want to get well, you see? And it goes back to an issue that we talked about earlier, felt needs versus real needs. Jesus here, I think, is challenging this man to deeply consider his true situation. Okay? What's really going on here with him? Desire has a lot to do with the ability to do something, even to physically get well. I mean, just think about it. People that you've known that have had some kind of sickness or illness or what have you, if they don't desire to get well, you say, then they're just going to kind of languish there. You say. So desire has a lot to do with whether a person accomplishes what they need to and want to. Sometimes people just give up on living when they're really sick. Okay? So it has a lot to do with desire. The man's response to Jesus revealed his true condition. Do you want to get well? Was the question that Jesus asked him. Instead of saying, of course I want to get well. What, are you stupid or something? I've been this way for 38 years. Why would you think I'd want to get well? He doesn't say anything like that, does he? Instead, he makes excuses and he blames everyone else for his situation. Nobody helps me. It's their fault that I'm not here. Okay. What does that tell you about his level of desire? Do you want to get well? Well, nobody helps me. And I think that Jesus could very easily have said, that's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you about who's doing what. I asked you if you want to get well. Tell me your level of desire here. Okay? That's the challenge that Jesus is putting before him. Jesus' response shows, I think, a certain creativity on his part, and that's another one of the characteristics that we've been noticing as Jesus interacts with these different people, his creativity in this. How does Jesus then respond to the man's excuses? Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Okay? Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. He challenged the man to take responsibility for himself. Okay? In other words, it's like, all right, I'm taking away all of your excuses here. All right? You're blaming everybody else because no one's helping you. I'm taking away all those excuses. It's all on you. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Okay? Ray, I don't know if you had a question or you just scratching your head there. I think that we need to understand a really important aspect of this approach that Jesus is using. And I think there's a term that we're probably all very familiar with called tough love. Okay? And I think that's what we see happening here. This is tough love in action. Jesus is demonstrating to us how to apply tough love. Now, when you understand that term, tough love, okay, I think that we have to understand the word love there is in the agape aspect of love, okay? That toughness is that we have to apply that agape sometimes when it's really difficult to do. But by definition, how does that really play out? What really is tough love by definition of agape? It's unconditional. That's the one side of it. What's the other side? No. That's the tough part, okay? What's the other aspect of agape? There's two parts. One is that it's unconditional. The other is that it says what? It's in the best interest of the other person. That's what agape is. Agape always has the best interest of the other person in mind. You see? And that's why it can be tough love. And that's why sometimes we have to use tough love. Because tough love says, look, I have your best interest in mind. That's why I'm being tough on you. And sometimes we need to do that with our kids. We want to, you know, we want to give them... That's why sometimes we have to do that with our kids. You see? We have to be tough on them because why? We know that's in their best interest. It's not in their best interest for us to just let them do whatever they want. You see? And so agape combined with the toughness is, yeah, sometimes the decisions that we have to make and the way we have to do this, it's tough to do, but I can tell you, I still remember my daughter, I don't remember how old she is. She's 32 years old, okay? She's 32 years old. When she was about 3, okay, about 3 years old, I had to give her a spanking one time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, one of the things that Cindy and I used to always do with her and with our son when they were little, you know, if we had to give them a spanking, we always tell them. You know, and in this situation, I told her, I said, Katie, I love you very much. I said, but what you did was wrong, and you're going to have to get a spanking. She looked at me with her big old brown cow eyes, and she said, you don't love me, Daddy. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You know, it's tough love. It's hard to do. But you know that it's in that person's best interest, and I think that's what we see Jesus doing here. It's hard to challenge someone who's dependent upon others and in that condition for as long as he is. But that's what's in his best interest. And Jesus knows that. Mm-hmm. Right. that's, I think, oftentimes the result of the tough love, that we learn something from it. Okay? And because it was in our best interest. Amen? And that's what we're going to talk about here is the response. Okay, you know, let me finish this particular thought, and then we're going to go there. You know, the tough love is doing always what is in the best interest of the other person, not what is easiest. See, and I think that a lot of times we may be in the position where Jesus is of having to challenge someone, whether it's our children or anybody else, but it's much easier to just let it go. Okay. We talked about earlier the whole idea of the issue of, you know, sometimes, you know, the person who is looking for the handouts or whatever on the street corner, you know, is it easier for us just to drop, you know, a couple of bucks in their, you know, in their box or their basket or whatever they have out there, drive on and not think about it anymore? We kind of soothe our conscience. Or is it in that person's best interest for us to say, hey, you need a meal? Let's go. I'll go and buy you some dinner. You know, sometimes we want to take the easy way out. Okay. But again, we have to ask ourselves and look at the situation, what is in this person's best interest? Okay. And that's what Jesus is doing with this. Even though this man was ill in some way, there were some ways that he could take initiative for his own life. And that's what Jesus is tapping into. Okay? What kind of initiative can this man take responsibility for himself in his situation? And when we talk about responsibility, really what is responsibility? And that's where we come with this, kind of, Lynette, what you're talking about here. You see, what Jesus does with this challenge, pick up your mat and go. Okay? He's calling for a response from this man. Okay? Some kind of a response is required here. Now, as you brought up, one response could be that he says, no, I can't do that. I've been here too long. My legs won't work. I can't do it on my own. You know, continue on with the excuses and so forth. That could have been a response that he could have chosen, right? Or he can respond by doing what Jesus told him to do. Pick up his mat and go. Okay? He could have gotten angry with Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? Okay? You know, how can you be so cruel as to, you know, tell me something like that? Can't you see the condition that I'm in? You know, what happened? He could just obey, and that's an important aspect of this, just obey Jesus and get up and take his mat and walk. The issue is, was he willing to take the risks involved in obeying Jesus? Say that again. Was he willing to take the risks involved in obeying Jesus? Now, that's an important question, I think, that we really need to ask ourselves that can apply to a lot of different situations in our lives, isn't it? In other words, let's move this situation from a man who is physically infirmed and has been that way for 38 years to a person who has been affirmed by some sin in their life for any given amount of time. The same question that Jesus asked this man is a valid question in that, is it not? Spiritually, do you want to get well? In other words, do you really want to overcome this sin problem you have in your life, whether it's an addiction to whatever, drugs, alcohol, pornography, it doesn't matter, whether it's whatever the sin problem is. Do you want to get well? Okay. And how would we respond to that question from Jesus? I've tried to quit. I don't have enough money to go to the treatment centers, or you know, nobody will help me. Every time I try, these people keep giving me the same, you know, every time I turn on my computer, it's right there. Whatever the excuses are, the response like this man is given. I think that Jesus would then respond the same way spiritually to us. It's up to you now. Walk away from this sin. But the point is that it requires a response from us. Okay? Whatever the spiritual infirmity is that Jesus would say to us, first of all, check your desire level. Do you want to overcome this problem, this sin? Okay? And then the command, pick up your mat and walk. The issue then becomes for us, are we willing to risk and see what's involved in order to obey Jesus? Am I willing to risk losing my friend? Because, you know, my friends are the people that I hang out with, and they're the ones that I do this stuff with. So am I willing to risk my friends? Am I willing to risk my family? Am I willing to risk my job? You know, whatever. Whatever the risk is involved in it. When it comes to obeying Jesus, am I willing to take the risk? And that's what this man is facing. There's a question there in his mind. Willing to take that risk. If I stand up and walk like this man's telling me to do, then we go back to what Lynn Anderson said. In the morning, I got to go down to the unemployment office and I got to see if I can find a job. You say, I got to start, you know, working and actually, and so all those responsibilities, I have to start taking responsibility for myself. But, but when you understand it in the context of that person who's dealing with that, it takes on a whole different meaning because you know, for someone, you know, again, from the outside looking at that, just going, that's not an issue for me. Why is that a problem? But to that person that's dealing with it, that's the reality. You see, that they've got to overcome that. Okay. So it may be something seems really trivial or simple to us, but to them, you know, it's not as simple. Yeah, I still am. I think that's part of the point here. In looking at this, we may not be physically, you know, infirmed and, you know, for 38 years laying by the side of a pool, but spiritually, first and foremost, what is our affirmative? And you're right, you know, we can look at other people and go, yeah, terrible they are, but, you know. But we've got to look at ourselves and go, what am I expecting? Okay. And yeah, that's an affirmative for me. I struggle with that particular thing. And so, yeah, for somebody that doesn't, it's not an issue. But for that person that's thinking of it, yeah, drinking is a problem or whatever, that's a real problem. It's a real struggle. For me to drive by Hardee's in the morning and not stop to get a biscuit, that's been a real struggle. You see, it's not as much of a struggle anymore. But it goes back to the same thing that I've been saying. It comes back to the issue. Until I want it, until I really had, and I say, well, yeah, of course I was going to lose weight. No, I didn't. You know, kind of like I did and I didn't. I didn't want to have to do, face the consequences and do the tough stuff, you see. In other words, look at it just like we're saying here. You know, in order for me to obey God in this part of my life, what am I going to have to do? Okay? And so, you know, for me, that's what it is. Hey, man, I'm doing good. I still got a long way to go. But the point is that I never really would have gotten where I am now if I didn't want to. I didn't accept God's challenge to say, look, this isn't going to be easy. But here's what you've got to do. Okay? And so I have to look at it in terms of obeying God. Okay? And stop chasing after it. You know how hard it was for me, Cindy and I were in there. I went down to meet her for lunch the other day, and you know, we went out and had lunch and everything, and you know, coming back, I drive right by this Supreme Dome. I mean, there was the temple, had the lights on and everything, you know? There it was. And I'm driving down Midlothian Turnpike going toward that pain going. No. I went right on past. That's a victory. You know? I didn't even try to tempt her into my sin. You know, it's like, hey, let's stop the crucifix. But it is, and but it's a, again, it comes back to that issue with anything. Okay. How much desire do we have to do it? And then, are we willing in that desire to do the tough stuff that is going to be required in obeying? Okay, Ray, and then Lynette here. I think it the follow through goes back to the initial question being that, how badly do you want to overcome it? Because that's the motivation, that's the drive that kind of keeps us on track of doing the tough stuff to obey. And that, you have your hand up. Oh, okay. Yeah, they don't know how to survive on the outside. Sandy and then Lynette. It really, in response to the question that Jesus, what it really requires is an issue of surrendering yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what it's really about. You realize you can't do this on your own, just like this man. You know, hey, I'm here, I can't do it, you know. But it's a matter of surrendering to the command, you know, get up, take up your mat, and go. And am I willing to surrender? You know, all of the desires that I have, and turn that over to God. And it's not just going, you know, okay, I did that, but it's every day, turning that over to Him, and every mealtime, turning it over to Him, you know, and saying, okay, you know, this is His. It belongs to Him. And that's where I find the strength that I need to be able to drive past the Krispy Kreme or, you know, the Hardee's or whatever. You see, that then allows me to, you know, to keep on track the way that I need to be. Okay. But I also recognize it as a sin problem. See, I didn't have just an overeating problem. I had a sin problem. Okay. And so that's, I think that's where we have to look at. You know, do I really want to get well from this sin problem? Let me tell you, because we're out of time. We're way over out of time here. There's one more aspect of this that we need to look at, and that is Jesus' statement to the man after he's healed, and he comes back and he finds the man there in the temple area, and he makes a statement to him about sin. And so next week we're going to talk about that aspect of it, and we'll finish up this part of our study on that. All right? Thank you all very much.